Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Ruttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtihi. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 15, Text 2. Tanmadhavo venum udirayan vrito gopair krinadbi svayasho balanvitah pashum puraskritya pashavyam avishat vihartukamah kusumakaram vanam. Tanmadhavo venum udirayan vrito. Gopair krinadbhi svayasho balanvitah pashum puraskritya pashavyamavishad vihartu kamah kusumakaram vanam. Tat thus Madhavah, Lord Sri Madhava, Venum, his flute, Udirayan, sounding, Vritah, surrounded, Gopai, by the cowherd boys, Grinadbhi, who were chanting, Swayashah, his glories, Bala Anvitah, accompanied by Lord Balarama, Pashun, the animals, Puraskritya, keeping in front, Pashavyam, full of nourishment for the cows, Avishat, he entered, Vihartukamah, desiring to enjoy pastimes. Kusuma karam, rich with flowers. Vanam, the forest. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Thus, desiring to enjoy pastimes, Lord Madhava, sounding his flute, surrounded by cowherd boys who were chanting his glories, and accompanied by Lord Baladeva, kept the cows before him and entered the Vrindavana forest, which was full of flowers and rich with nourishment for the animals. Purport. Srila Sanatana Goswami has explained the various meanings of the word Madhava as follows. Madhava normally indicates Krishna to be the Lord who is the consort of the goddess of fortune Lakshmi. This name also implies that Lord Krishna descended in the dynasty of Madhu. Since the spring season is also known as Madhava, it is understood that as soon as Lord Krishna entered the Vrindavana forest, it automatically exhibited all the opulences of spring, becoming filled with flowers, breezes, and a celestial atmosphere. Another reason Lord Krishna is known as Madhava is that he enjoys his pastimes in Madhu, the taste of conjugal love. Lord Krishna would loudly sound his flute as he entered the forest of Sri Vrindavana, thus giving inconceivable bliss to all the residents of his hometown Braja Dhamma. These simple pastimes of playfully entering the forest, playing on the flute and so forth were performed daily in the spiritual land of Vrindavana. Om Tat Sat. Om Agyana Dimirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmayi Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sakitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Namahom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Very happy to be here with all of you. I am not normally a resident of Vrindavan. I don't visit here much also. I come swishing past and stay briefly. I had an opportunity to come here right now. So I am blessed. You can't hear me? What am I supposed to do? Can I get any closer? Okay. Yes, can you hear me now? Okay. Sorry. So I rarely come, and this particular opportunity, I am thankful to the management to offer me an opportunity, make a display, a flamboyant display of my ignorance about Vrindavan to you, because this shloka is about Vrindavan, which I may not be able to competently handle, but by the inspiration of Srila Prabhupada and all wonderful devotees and Maharajas here, I should be able to say something that is worthwhile. Right when I read the shloka this morning, three things appealed to me very much. I think that will be the focus of my talk. Thus, desiring to enjoy pastimes. Number one, that Krishna at that moment desired to enjoy pastimes. He, first thing he did is he loudly sounded his flute, and he was surrounded by cowherd boys who were chanting his glories. And then Prabhupada comments there in the purport in the last paragraph. The simplicity of Krishna's entrance and the playful pastimes. So the setting here, as I see the sequence, is the Aghasura Leela is over and Brahma Vimohana Leela is over. And the cowherd boys have really gone through a lot. They've gone through the Aghasura pastime. Of course, the hero Krishna always does it right. And he killed Aghasura. And they were lost in the tummy of Aghasura. And they came out and they were very happy to be with Krishna again. Then again they all got stolen. They got hidden somewhere by Brahma. The calves and gopas. And Krishna did an amazing leela of expanding himself into the gopas and the calves. Well, they all remained hidden. No, they were not hidden. They were specially protected by Krishna's powerful energies. And lo and behold, now they have come back again. And for one whole year, they were not present. And this is mentioned here, this is the first day after that, that he is going to the forest. And surely Krishna has that in mind. And he wants to give the gopas and the cows a special rejuvenating experience. And that's why it's mentioned here, wanting to enjoy pastimes again with all the gopas and the calves. He's entering Vrindavan and he's absorbed. He's very deeply absorbed in Vrindavan. It's also mentioned here by one of the Goswamis. So, Krishna's desire is paramount. And all the gopas, the calves, the whole of Vrindavan, everybody is keenly following Krishna's desire. And they're adjusting everything together to suit Krishna's desire. His desire is paramount. Everything works according to his desire. And I read in the commentary, it's also mentioned that everything turned to be like spring. All the vegetation, the flowers, the fruits, the atmosphere and the breeze and everything became like that. Natat bhashayate suryo na shashanko na pavakaha yad gatvana nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. There is no need for sun, moon or any of the other things in the spiritual world. It runs as per Krishna's desire. If Krishna wants to have the Rasalila, it becomes a night filled with the beautiful moon and there are lotuses blossoming in the night and there is Malati flowers available. Everything changes as per Krishna's desire. There's no conditioning of night and day and everything. It just goes by Krishna's desire. So here Krishna desired, and it follows that the gopas were glorifying him, waiting for the pastimes to take place and waiting to take part in them, satisfy and please Krishna and thus please themselves. So aligning themselves with Krishna's desire, waiting to serve Krishna according to his desire. We are constantly challenged with having our own desires in this material world. And Krishna consciousness and devotional service means how to align our desire with that of Krishna, with that of Srila Prabhupada. How to please Srila Prabhupada, how to please Guru, how to please Krishna. That's a challenge that we constantly face. And this is a natural setting. And the gopas are hardwired naturally to actually go with Krishna's desire. In our sadhana, we are always fighting with our desires and that of what we should be doing to satisfy Krishna. Sometimes we are able to align ourselves, especially when we take prasadam, we can align our desires with that of Krishna, that we should eat only prasadam. It's easy to align our desires. There are other times that we find it very difficult to align our desires. I don't like it. I can't do it. I don't feel like doing it. Great devotees of the Lord, pure devotees of the Lord, can very seamlessly, instantly align themselves with Krishna because of their love for Krishna. Because of their love for Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada could align himself immediately with the amazing, fantastic direction given to him to go to the Western world and preach Krishna consciousness. Never done before. And he was able to, he also struggled to align himself. But he was wanting to do that. And he pushed himself to do it. And he was able to do it. And he told us, you do like I do. You must actually align yourself. You must make that effort to align yourself. That is sadhana. But for the gopas, it's coming very naturally. For Prabhupada, it's coming naturally because he's making an effort in this world. And as a pure devotee, he's able to do it. Sometimes we find it extremely difficult to align ourselves with certain instructions that we are given. And our mind rationalizes and produces so many reasons why you shouldn't be doing it, why you shouldn't align yourself, how even your Krishna consciousness will get spoiled if you do it. And we can come up with very good arguments. So how do we do that? How do we work against, and we know exactly how to align, where to align, what is the methodology to align? So sadhana means it's a lot more painful than this cool entry of Krishna and the gopas aligning very nicely, very sweetly with Krishna. I thought that I should align that, mention that. That is, Krishna's desire is desiring to perform pastimes, which means he wants all the gopas, every living being in Vrindavan and the whole of Vrindavan to cooperate. And they all do so. And Krishna's pastime fructifies, manifests itself. It's not that Krishna's pastime is a standalone performance. It has a lot of cooperative effort with so many others chipping in. So when we want to serve Krishna, we are also part of it. We are also part of a huge enterprise of many of us together trying to do something for Krishna. That's another important point. When we serve Krishna, we don't serve alone. We serve with many others together. That's why it's called Sankirtan. Bahubir militva kirtayante Sankirtana muchyate. When many of us get together and glorify Krishna together, serve Krishna together, it becomes Sankirtan. Like I often mentioned, Sankirtan is not Sankirtan in a corner, all by yourself, only for yourself to enjoy. Sankirtan involves everybody else together, like we see here. How whole of Vrindavana, every flower, fruit, tree, fruits, you'll see Krishna is glorifying after this, all the trees bowing down to him. He gives the credit to Balaram and says, Balaram, look at all these trees are offering their obeisances to you. Right? Everybody is involved in giving Krishna pleasure. And therefore they are all also getting pleasure. So Sankirtan is not a standalone enterprise. It is all of us together performing. And Krishna becomes pleased when everybody is involved to serve him jointly in association with everybody else. Now that is the difficult part for many of us. We can excel in individually serving according to our own talents, our own karma, our own abilities, situations, circumstances, everything. But to serve with others, to help others also to serve and you also serve without much focus only on your own performance and your own competitive performance or own excelling performance, that is devotional service. And you can see Prabhupada extolling that both in practice and in his words, in his books. So Krishna desiring to enjoy pastimes and the gopas glorifying him, instantly surrounding him, being with him. That's one point I thought that should worth mentioning. The other one is here, Krishna is very special by his four qualities, even distinctly different from Narayana. Sarva adbhuta chamatkar lila kallola varidhi atulya madura prema mandita priyamandala trijaga manasakarshi murali kalakujita asamanortva rupa shri vismapita charachara. four distinct qualities of Krishna, he performs these amazing pastimes. Very unique. And he is always Mandita Priya Mandalaha. He is always surrounded by his loving devotees. And he blows his beautiful flute. Very unique. Manasa Karishi Murli Kalakujitaha. Attracts everybody. The blowing of his flute. Playing of his flute. And you can see he is doing that here and is surrounded by all wonderful devotees, his gopas, and he's going to perform a pastime. He's going to perform a pastime. All these great, brilliant qualities are manifest here in this verse. Unique qualities that we can see Krishna going to perform. And so his verse is so rich. It's so rich. It's the uniqueness of Krishna being manifested. And Krishna is going to show that for the pleasure of all his devotees. Another important thing that occurred to me in this is that he is accompanied by his friends and the cows and calves, and he enters the Vrindavan forest. His entering of Vrindavan forest is something very wonderful for everybody to see. The whole Vrindavan comes to see it. All the mothers and fathers of the gopas, they have dressed their children and they have packed them with lunch and everything that they need, the rope, the horn, the stick, and the calves and the cows, and they have sent them forth. But after doing that, they all climb the houses on top and they want to see the scene of Krishna taking all of them to the forest with the cows and the calves. Chalasi yad vraja charayana pashun nalina sundaram natate padam shilatrunam kurai sitati dina kalilata mana kanta gacchati. This is a scene, it's a very beautiful situation every day that everybody wants to see. Mother Yashoda is actually dressing up Krishna and she's sending him forward and said, hold on, wait again, and she adjusts this, adjusts that and everything, and then she sees him go, and because of great affection for him, she doesn't want to suffer that separation. She again she says, stop, have you got this ready? Have you got the lunch pack ready? Be careful of this, be careful of that. And then he says that, Mama, don't worry, I know how to look after myself. Excuse me, I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by the way. Yeah, I know, but she keeps stopping him every moment, and then she does that 3-4 times until she's told by Nanda Maharaj, he knows, let him go. And then all the gopas get together and they're all coming packed up and they join together and they see Krishna. Immediately they start dancing and, you know, exclaiming things, and they are very happy. And they kick up such a dust, and the cows and the calves and Krishna dance together and move into the forest. So it's a spectacle to behold for everybody. And that's also here happening. And so also when he comes back from the forest, Tinaparikshaye Nilakuntale Vanaruhananam Pibradavratam Ghanarajaswalam Darshayana Muhur Manasina Smaran Virayachasi. What beautiful shlokas, compositions sung by the gopis. They must be so intensely feeling this. Obviously, Dina Parikshaye, after the day has been tested, and it is the end of the day, and the sun is setting, you are coming forth with all your paraphernalia, your cowherd boys and the cows and the calves, and there is Godhuli, Vraja Raja up in the air, and everything looks foggy, and we can see you. Ghana Rajaswalam Darshayan Muhur. Your face is covered with a thick layer of Vrindavan dust. And you must have rolled around, you must have played with everybody, and you're kicking up the dust everywhere, and your hair is filled with that dust. Neela Kuntalaya. And they say that this is creating a lot of lusty desires in our heart, watching you in this beautiful form. So Krishna is coming back with all the gopas still dancing together and rejoicing after a whole day in the forest of cowherding and killing a demon a day. Krishna is coming back. So this is a very interesting setting, and it evokes a lot of emotions and feelings in all the Vrindavan Vasis. Then coming to the point is, these are very simple things that we are describing. Somebody in some village taking a few cows and calves and some friends of his and going to the forest to rear the cows, some cowherds, and some village. Why are you making such a big thing about it? Why are you saying, you know, all these things exaggerated? Why do you feel all these things about it? We see this all over the place in India. Every village, there's some cowherd hanging around. Even today, either he's a goat herding guy or a cow herding guy or somebody around. It's nothing very big. And the blossom and the autumn, and why do you guys make it so big? It's all over the place. It's all over the place. So actually, it's nothing very big if you're a materialist and you've seen very wonderful places all over the world, in the Swiss and in the Alps and in somewhere else, and you've seen beautiful setting and flowers and hills and trees, and so what? So what? That's the main point. It's mentioned here, Krishna is very absorbed in Vrindavan. The next shloka says he looks around and sees the blossoming flowers and the bees and the birds and the chirping of different types of birds, and the forest is filled with sounds, and a feeling awakens in him. So it's doing something to Krishna, and Krishna's desire and his mood, and everyone reflecting with that, reciprocating with that, and entering that mood of Vrindavan. It's got depth, it's got great richness which you may not see. So the material world, you have got width, lots of things you see, wonderful things you can create and you can enjoy with your senses, you can have gratification. But there's no depth in it. There's no depth in it. Bhakti has got depth. Relationships in bhakti have got great depth. And the rasa enjoyed by Krishna is plummeting those depths. And there's great richness inside in that enjoyment and that experience. And you won't see that if you just look at it, oh, nice vegetation and a few things which you already know about. If you look at it in terms of width, then you don't enter the depth of the pastime that Krishna is having. In simplicity, there is a depth, there is purity. And there is amazing things going on deeply inside each one of them. They are fully absorbed. They are fully absorbed in Krishna. They are fully absorbed in a relationship with Krishna. And in that relationship with Krishna, they are enjoying the pastimes. And that you cannot see if you see it superficially. If you see it superficially. I remember one of our life patron members many, many years back, about 25 years back, I asked him, he said he is retired, and he wanted me to know what I should do now. He was chanting 16 rounds, he had read the Bhagavatam, a very special life I remember. Normally people don't do that. He started chanting 16 rounds. I said, you're getting old now, you're retired, you should go and visit the holy places, go to Mayapur, go to Vrindavan. He said, I don't know about Mayapur, I never heard about Vrindavan. I've heard about, I can try to go there. And I remember I arranged a place for him in the guest house. He's from Kerala, very neat, slick man, a government servant, worked for long. He came here and a she was very much put off by seeing the pigs and the drain. Those days it was not even so clean, maybe even worse. And the drains and the pigs and the... He said, it's so bad. The description in the Bhagavatam was different. It's lousy, it's got all those dirty things, you know. I never went out anywhere. I stayed in the temple and went to get my prasadam and I came back within 3 days. I thought it was most unfortunate. He only saw the outside of Vrindavan. He made an opinion as soon as he saw something. He couldn't enter Vrindavan. He didn't visit any place. He said, I just went to the temple and I was back in the guest house. This is a crude example. But this is what I mean by width. Material life has got width. A lot of paraphernalia, a lot of stuff, and right now we have devices and all sorts of gadgets and we can't do without it and we live and interact with it. We need them, we need this setup that we are in, we are so attached to it, we are addicted to it in some places. But here, they don't have anything. They are not dependent on any device. Krishna is the only device, Krishna is the only gadget, and they get amazing depth of experience from it. And we all know we can also get a whiff of that experience when we come to Vrindavan, having fried out somewhere with management, organizational affairs and preaching and traveling and facing many things. You come, you feel so good. You can chant peacefully. You can be very absorbed in chanting. You can go on a parikrama and feel very tired but very blissful. And you feel that you should be, you get experience of it, what that depth is. And we want it. We know somewhere inside our whole system, we're getting happy somewhere inside. And it's a deep spiritual happiness. It's a spiritual experience. You can't put your finger on it exactly, but you know you're experiencing it. And we want to have that depth every time we perform in life. It somehow eludes us as we get absorbed in daily affairs, which we need to do anyway. So we know about it. And we can extrapolate that and understand here that the gopas were enjoying that depth only with no unnecessary width, with 100% focus on Krishna consciousness and their experience of Krishna and catering to Krishna and having him be pleased with our service. Samsiddhir haritoshanam. So, along with Balarama, it is mentioned, Saharamena Keshava Atimartyanti Bhagavan Guda Kapatamanusha Kritavan Kilakarmani. Along with Balarama, he performed these pastimes along with the Gopas. And when we read each of these shlokas, we can understand the depth of the experience that Krishna affords to us. And we can choose. Ye yata mam prapadyante tang stateva bhajamiham. We can enter into whatever depth that we think we can afford according to the level of our bhakti, according to our surrender to Krishna. But we must always remember that this is a reality. Material sophistry and all sorts of sophisticated things in the material world, and people get recognition for that. And you can get so many likes on Facebook for that now. And you can do that, this and everything. You can spread yourself very thin on that. But this is a devotee's life. A devotee's life is depth in relationship with Krishna. With no material sophistication at all. With just enough that is required for my survival materially. So simplicity of Vrindavan Leela should not be mistaken to be just devoid of any depth. Its depth can be very complicated, especially if you don't have devotion. If you're simple, you can go into that depth. If you're a complicated person in the material world with many material attachments and everything, you cannot get entry into that so easily. And let me see from our own experience and from the readings in the Srimad Bhagavatam that all of these gopas are very simple. They're very simple. And they're simply oriented towards Krishna. They don't know anything else. Mat prana natastu saiva na paraha. I don't need to know anything else. I am plummeting great depths and having great pleasure. You don't. Everything else is insignificant, not at all important. This is absorption. Absorption in simplicity creates depth, and Krishna is with you. The more we get complicated in this world, the more we lose that depth and that Krishna conscious experience. So a smart devotee, an intelligent devotee, he knows how to keep that to a minimum and plummet and culture that depth of Krishna consciousness. I think these are the things that hit me very strongly when I read the shloka in the morning, and I thought I'll share this with you. I'm not able to share any great leelas with you to do with that. You must have heard a lot here about all these things, so I'll stop here. Om Tat Sat, Hare Krishna, Grantharaj Shaman Bhagavatam Ki. Any comment, Maharaj, that you would like to make? You want to add on? Any comments?
You said that you don't know about Vrindavan, but you're talking about Vrindavan too much.
It's because of the influence of all of you sitting here. I'm just a cheap mirror reflecting it.
I mentioned that in the beginning you were saying that you don't know much about Vrindavan, but you were talking about Vrindavan for the last 4 hours. So that was really connected.
Thank you, Maharaj. Any question? Maharaj, you want to say something, please? Any comment or question? Yeah.
Maharaj, most of people have been in the staying here at the condition level. There is a possibility, as you said, to be disturbed by the external awareness of feeling as perceived. And then right now in Vrindavan there is a lot of superficial luxury also. So on one hand that is there, on the other hand
that's also dirt.
Yeah, of course, that's a bigger thing.
For different type.
But the conditions are, if it's either, gated by that and attached by that, so beyond that it's difficult to move on in general. So now in this scenario, what is the way to enter into that?
How does that stop you? You can go on, Vrindavan is still here. Shishi Radha, Shyama Sundar and Krishna Balaram and Gaunitai here, Prabhupada is here. You can go and indulge. Nobody is, because of that, stopped you from this. This is always open to you. Vrindavan is always open to anybody who wants to enter. It's mystical. It's not on the surface. So devotees have the capacity and the know-how to enter it. You go ahead and do that. This is always going to be the scene in the material world. This will come, this will go. It's not that when Vrindavan was devoid of all these great buildings and luxury and other things, that everybody was able to enter Vrindavan either. Right? There was Kamsa and his hordes of people, and they always never wanted to enter Vrindavan. So the Kamsa attitude, people are always there. And the Gopas and Gopis and the Vrindavan mood, people are always there. And they continue to enter Vrindavan in spite of all these things. Nobody stops you. Chant Hare Krishna, follow Prabhupada's instructions, and be in Vrindavan. Prabhupada carried Vrindavan all over the world. He not only entered, he took it and went all over the world and gave Vrindavan to everybody. And he said, do as I do. So you got a tall order to execute. Yeah.
spiritual activities, whatever religious structures that you have.
That's to show that we are individuals and we are very happy about exercising our independent individuality in this material world. That's why we are here. The exercise of our individuality and our independence gives us kicks. And that's what we get out of being in the material world. But when we come to know about Krishna, we come to know about our constitutional position, we know about Jivere Surup Hoi Krishnere Nitya Das. I am eternally a servant of Krishna, and long time, steadiness and pleasure and happiness for me is by aligning myself in service to Krishna. Isn't it? So, two things are happening inside you. One is the pull of your individual independent exercise and enjoyment of gratification. And the other one is your knowledge about Krishna consciousness and wanting to be aligned. These are sometimes poles apart, or at all times they are poles apart. So, sadhana, I said, means fighting with this and aligning our desire with Krishna. The gopas are an example, 100% aligned with Krishna. Don't know anything else, don't need to know anything else. So, I am just saying that Prabhupada also showed us how a conditioned soul in this world can be having both these forces on him. One because of knowledge, the other because of experience of many, many janmas here, which is more stronger. And having the association of devotees, the holy dham, and learning to do that. So Prabhupada showed us. It's not that we can say Prabhupada is a pure devotee, so he is able to do it. But Prabhupada actually did many things in his life. He was, doing his business. He had 5 children. He had a grihastha life, and he was doing good. And he was sort of settled down. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur came in his dream and said, "What are you doing? Come, take sannyas." And he was wondering, "How will I do that? I got 5 children, a family, a roaring business, and I got things going. Good." And it happened again. And he decided to align himself. He said, "I must do this." He left. And then look what happened all over the world. That's an example of aligning oneself. It takes effort, it takes a little austerity, it takes renunciation and detachment and all that. And I'm sure each one of you is doing that in some degree or the other to make your Krishna consciousness meaningful. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nittai Guru Premanande.